Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Celtic Soul Brothers and the Strong Devoted.
After a year in exile, Kevin Rowland and Dex's Midnight Runners have re-emerged with a sound that avoids that old disco pop vogue and still gets to number one. Less irascible than before, young Kev is even granting the odd interview. Max Bell found out why Kev's taken so long to get his head together.
Last year's quiet period was definitely intentional. I don't know whether people actually realise that or not. But we've more or less treated like last year was a complete experiment. We only really played live 5 or 6 times. We released 2 or 3 records. The rest of the time we were kind of working away in private, working on our new direction. In fact, what we're actually, you know, enjoying the fruits of now, you know, the new sound that we've been working on. And it's almost like, I mean, if we went out in the sun last year, you know, we might have took our shirts off, but this year, you know, we're going nude sunbathing, or, you know, we're just diving in there first. This is an all-out attack, whereas last year was just testing the water.
As I don't know you, but from your public image these days, you seem like a much more relaxed person than perhaps you used to be. Is that true?
Yeah, well, my public image is a bit of a complicated thing to go into and stuff. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's, you can... You know, it depends on which angle you look at it to see whether I was relaxed or whatever.
We used to have a very serious image, which perhaps you don't have now.
I think my attitude now is probably a little bit more confident, you know, rather than relaxed. And my attitude to the press has changed now, where it's one of, I'm confident that what I do is good and I want it to get through to people. So now I'm just, you know, prepared to use the media much more than I was. You know, I took them a bit more seriously perhaps before.
You don't regret anything you did in the past?
No.
Your printed announcements and so on.
No, I don't regret any of it. I mean, I neither regret or, you know, sort of feel the opposite about it. Actually, it's just what it was right to me at the time to do that. You know, the things I did felt right. It was all very instinctive, and I meant what I said, every word. You know, and it was funny. It was funny at the time. People's reaction to all that.
You were laughing as well, were you?
Yeah. I've got my, you know, my sense of humour too.
Because a lot of people found it very smug, I must say, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, there you go, you know. Well, I wouldn't say no, we've got good friends because, you know, I met him, you know, only a few months ago. So I admire what he's doing.
You still like his work, even now?
Yeah. I would like to make it clear, though, you know, I mean, Van Morrison is perhaps, you know, somebody I respect because, all right, over the last 20 years or whatever, he's gone totally his own way, regardless of any commercial consideration. But there's no way I would like to end up like Van Morrison, you know, a tiny little cult audience sort of coming over here every 4 years and playing to 10,000 people. You know, it's not for me. You know.
What does he think of your version of Jackie Wilson said?
He quite rightly thinks it's better than his own version.
Honestly?
Yeah.
What made you choose that particular song?
It just felt great, you know, when I heard it. And it really stood out to me. And I must admit, I thought his version was a little bit underplayed.
Let it all hang. Put it on. I'm so what up. So
this thing when you did the projected passion review that a lot of your shows you won't let people drink. Are you still going to take that stance?
Well, it's not exactly true, actually, that we won't let people drink. I think that's something different.
But you didn't have bars.
It's a strong shows. Word on it. That's right, we didn't have bars, you know. But, I mean, you know, often you go to the theatre or something. I don't know if you do, but they don't have bars there, you know, and nobody even complains about it.
You can get a drink in the interval.
Concert. Sorry?
You can usually get a drink in the interval.
You can get a drink at the interval at the Old Vic. So, I mean, I've got nothing against drinking. It's great, you know. I've been known to get drunk myself, you know, I do. But I'm just trying to get away. I'm trying to do something different over here, you know. I just want to get away from the sort of pissed, you know, rock and roll image of everybody getting drunk and have a great time. That's not what we're trying to do. It's something very, very different to that.
Don't you think it's a bit of a liberty, though, to take a moral stance like that with a large number of people?
Well, how is it a moral stance?
Well, aren't you inflicting...
How can you take the moral stance?
Aren't you inflicting your own morality on them?
What morality?
Well, it's just this thing about drinking. I mean, isn't it up to the individual to do what he wants to do?
Of course it is. Of course it is, but they don't have to come. And I've never said that, you know, that they're not allowed to drink. I just happen to say that, you know, light refreshments would be on sale. You know.
Orange juice or something.
Yeah. Eileen is a girl that I sort of grew up with. My parents and her parents were friends, and we were born around about the same time. We grew up together, we used to play together, and, you know, our parents, my dad used to sit both of us on his knee and sing on his knees, Turalura Lura, that's an Irish lullaby, that's been my country. And we just grew up together, and by the time we came to about 13 or 14, sex came into it. 6 minutes. I'll be here.